This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper.
When I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. And, you know, I'm not just playing the old man card here. Even the youngest members of our staff were just 1 or 2 years old when the internet came online.
Fast forward nearly 3 decades, and you can't get away from the internet or the technology it powers. And that means changes for how all of us spend our time, even children. Our next guest is an internationally known expert on internet addiction and the founder of the Center for Internet Addiction. Dr. Kimberly Young joined us to talk about the impact of the internet and technology on some of its youngest users. Dr. Young, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, as everyone probably knows, the internet is way more prevalent in our lives today than it was even a decade ago, and that goes for children as well. Even in the classroom, there's a lot more internet access and usage, and it gives endless knowledge, but it also has some problems. Internet use can become addictive. When does it move from that casual use for children to addictive behavior?
Well, I think for any addiction, you have to look at the warning signs. You know, is the person able to control their behavior? Have they lost interest in other activities because of the behavior? Have they jeopardized a relationship, an academic success, or a career? One of the things about addiction is there's usually a consequence to it. It's taking away from something else. It's become unmanageable. So those are the types of things. There's a big difference in terms of screen addictions from chronic checking, for example, to when it comes chronic and problematic and people have lost their jobs or gotten kicked out of school or gotten divorced over their activities.
And what are the ways it is destructive or harmful for children if they move over into that addictive behavior?
Well, the bigger things, I mean, I've been studying this for 20 years now. And back in the day, there was definitely an online and an offline life. And people would usually ask the questions, you know, how long is too long to spend online? But now there's just, everybody's just on. And the problem now is how young is too young is the real serious question. I mean, now we're seeing technology invade infants. You have the iPad bouncy seat with an iPad built right into an infant's bouncy seat. And you have all kinds of dangers related to that because children developmentally are behind still. They haven't really developed their own cognitive skills, so they could have a variety of problems. One of the things I talk more about these days, especially to parents and teachers, is the problem with children and screens. So you have social problems. They're not playing in groups. They're not learning how to talk in face-to-face conversations. They're just isolated in front of their screens. You have obesity. They don't have any motor play. They're just sitting there sedentary in front of screens. Or cognitively, they're not learning how to read a book. They're rather point and scroll and skim than using an actual book that's much more linear, much more page by page, and requires a whole different set of cognitive skills.
You mentioned that you've been studying this for a long time, since the beginning of the internet, and you founded the Center for Internet Addiction in 1995. But are we seeing more and more kids addicted to the internet as time goes on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I started this 20 years ago, we didn't even have email the way we talk about email today. It was a very different dial-up modem, you know, very slow. We certainly didn't have mobile technology. So all these things contributed to, I think, then a push for technology in classrooms, in businesses, with an over-reliance almost on it. And so now young children really are in a very different position than they were 2 decades ago, or like you said, a decade ago. Now we're seeing it in kindergarten class. That really is much too young. And we're one of the few countries that just seems to allow it. We don't really recognize internet addiction as other countries do. I mean, we've been lagging behind in the U.S.
I said at the beginning that you can get addicted, but there is some controversy over whether it's an actual addiction, if it's, you know, different than, say, alcohol addiction or drug addiction. What's your stance on this?
Well, obviously, I mean, after studying it for 20 years, there's a preponderance of information and validity in academic peer-reviewed research that says this is. Again, the controversy is only in America. I was at the first International Congress on Internet Addiction Disorders. It was held in Milan, Italy. That was in 2013. I was the only American there. And all the other countries really were looking at us and saying, what's going on? Why aren't you doing more to address this very serious issue? For example, in Korea, all in their curriculum, they have prevention programs for kids. They talk about screen usage. They have treatment centers set up for this. And it's, you know, a very different culture than ours. I understand that. But still, we're really not doing a whole lot except to say promoting what is not really a benign tool. Apple just came out with an app at least trying to monitor screen use in their phones. And I think that's a step in the right direction. What's been happening in America, unfortunately, it's like the nicotine industry. We knew that nicotine was addictive for so long, but it wasn't until a class action lawsuit against Philip Morris that we really started saying, oh my, now we need to change what we think about in terms of our smoking habits. But before that, it was promoted with movie stars and Joe Camel and teenagers. So I think we're in the same sort of iteration with internet addiction. At some point, there needs to be that tipping point.
Well, what do you think parents should do if they are concerned about their child's internet habits? I mean, a lot of parents themselves can't pry themselves away from the phone. What do you recommend?
Well, I developed the 3-6-9-12 parenting guidelines, and this is very helpful because at each developmental age, a child needs, I think, a different use of technology. So from infancy to three, there's no technology, no screens, no media. But then from, say, 3 to 6, the child can have very limited, very scrutinized, monitored screen use. And then from 6 to 9, you know, a bit more independence with the screens. And then from 9 to 12, and so forth. I mean, you start seeing a gradual use. And so the guidelines have been very helpful, I know, in a lot of the work I do with parents, because sometimes nobody's really told them that. They're just like, well, what do we do? And it really does make sense. And I've seen this, you know, a 9-year-old is going to be different than a 3-year-old's need to be online.
You talk about a digital diet. It's almost like there needs to be nutritional guidelines for the internet.
Well, we do a lot with our patients here. We talk about digital dieting and digital nutrition to the extent that it really parallels eating disorders. You know, for a food addict, you're not going to say, well, just quit food as the answer. It's really about making healthy, positive choices. Same thing with the technology. It's not just saying abstinence is the way to treat addiction in this case. It's really about making healthier, better choices about how you consume technology.
It's different than a drug addiction where you can live without taking drugs. But if you want to be a modern functioning adult, you do need technology these days. So how do you balance that?
Again, when we talk about internet addiction, it really is oftentimes for the more recreational things, things like pornography, gambling, gaming. You know, people are using it responsibly for work. You know, they're production engineers and they're on the computer a lot, whatever it might be. That's legitimate and balanced use, or making airline reservations for a vacation. So there's really very good things to be doing with the technology. It really is about finding your own balance. A lot of times we make individual treatment plans with our patients because everybody's goals are different. You have a 21-year-old gamer that really has dropped out of school and living in his parents' basement. It might be qualitatively different in terms of what his balance is versus, say, a 58-year-old man who's probably watching pornography sites and it bothers his wife, and we need to figure out what the reason is in their marriage that there might be a problem that he's doing that. So a lot of the outcomes vary, which makes it harder to treat than alcoholism. Alcoholism has one main component, which is abstinence, where here abstinence really isn't the key.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot more study to be done as we continue to rely on the internet, and I'm sure you'll be at the forefront of that. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Young.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.